One Saturday, Jim and I decided to go exploring with our air rifles to see if we could find a rabbit or a squirrel. We had gone about 500 yards beyond the Radley place when I noticed Jim squinting at something down the street. He had turned his head to one side and was looking out of the corners of his eyes. "What you looking at?" "That old dog down yonder," he said. "That's old Tim Johnson, ain't it?" "Yeah." Tim Johnson was the property of Mr. Harry Johnson, who drove the Mobile bus and lived on the southern edge of town. Tim was a liver-colored bird dog, the pet of Makem. "What's he doing?" "I don't know, Scout. We better go home." "Oh, Jim, it's February." "I don't care. I'm going to tell Cal." We raced home and ran to the kitchen. "Cal," said Jim, "can you come down the sidewalk a minute?" "What for, Jim? I can't come down the sidewalk every time you want me. There's something wrong with an old dog down yonder." Calpurnia sighed. "I can't wrap up any dog's foot now. There's some gauze in the bathroom. Go get it and do it yourself." Jim shook his head. "He's sick, Cal. Something's wrong with him." "What's he doing, trying to catch his tail?" "No, he's doing like this." Jim gulped like a goldfish, hunched his shoulders, and twitched his torso. "He's going like that, only not like he means to." "Are you telling me a story, Jim Finch?" Calpurnia's voice hardened. "No, Cal, I swear I'm not." "Was he running?" "No, he's just moseying along so slow you can't hardly tell it. He's coming this way." Calpurnia rinsed her hands and followed Jim into the yard. "I don't see any dog," she said. She followed us beyond the Radley place and looked where Jim pointed. Tim Johnson was not much more than a speck in the distance, but he was closer to us. He walked erratically, as if his right legs were shorter than his left legs. He reminded me of a car stuck in a sandbed. "He's gone lopsided," said Jim. Calpurnia stared, then grabbed us by the shoulders and ran us home. She shut the wood door behind us, went to the telephone and shouted, "Gimme Mr. Finch's office." "Mr. Finch," she shouted, "this is Cal. I swear to God there's a mad dog down the street apiece. He's coming this way. Yes, sir, he's... Mr. Finch, I declare he is old Tim Johnson. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes." She hung up and shook her head when we tried to ask her what Atticus had said. She rattled the telephone hook and said, "Miss Eula May? Now, ma'am, I'm through talking to Mr. Finch. Please don't connect me no more. Listen, Miss Eula May, can you call Miss Rachel and Miss Stephanie Crawford and whoever's got a phone on this street and tell them a mad dog's coming? Please, ma'am." Calpurnia listened. "I know it's February, Miss Eula May, but I know a mad dog when I see one. Please, ma'am, hurry." Calpurnia asked Jim, "Radley's got a phone?" Jim looked in the book and said, "No. They won't come out anyway, Cal." "I don't care. I'm going to tell them." She ran to the front porch, Jim and I at her heels. "You stay in that house," she yelled. Calpurnia's message had been received by the neighborhood. Every wood door within our range of vision was closed tight. We saw no trace of Tim Johnson. We watched Calpurnia running toward the Radley place, holding her skirt and apron above her knees. She went up to the front steps and banged on the door. She got no answer, and she shouted, "Mr. Nathan! Mr. Arthur! Mad dog's coming! Mad dog's coming!" "She's supposed to go around in back," I said. Jim shook his head. "Don't make any difference now," he said. Calpurnia pounded on the door in vain. No one acknowledged her warning. No one seemed to have heard it. As Calpurnia sprinted to the back porch, a black Ford swung into the driveway. Atticus and Mr. Heck Tate got out. Mr. Heck Tate was the sheriff of Macomb County. He was as tall as Atticus, but thinner. He was long-nosed, wore boots with shiny metal eye-holes, boot pants, and a lumber jacket. His belt had a row of bullets sticking in it. He carried a heavy rifle. When he and Atticus reached the porch, Jim opened the door.
"Stay inside, son," said Atticus. "Where is he, Cal?"
"He ought to be here by now," said Calpurnia, pointing down the street.
"Not running, is he?" asked Mr. Tate.
"No, sir. He's in the twitching stage, Mr. Heck."
"Should we go after him, Heck?" asked Atticus.
"We better wait, Mr. Finch. They usually go in a straight line, but you never can tell. He might follow the curve. Hope he does, or he'll go straight in the Radley backyard. Let's wait a minute."
"Don't think he'll get in the Radley yard," said Atticus. "Fence'll stop him. He'll probably follow the road."
I thought mad dogs foamed at the mouth, galloped, leaped, and lunged at throats, and I thought they did it in August. Had Tim Johnson behaved thus, I would have been less frightened. Nothing is more deadly than a deserted, waiting street. The trees were still. The mockingbirds were silent. The carpenters at Miss Maudie's house had vanished. I heard Mr. Tate sniff, then blow his nose. I saw him shift his gun to the crook of his arm. I saw Miss Stephanie Crawford's face framed in the glass window of her front door. Miss Maudie appeared and stood beside her. Atticus put his foot on the rung of a chair and rubbed his hand slowly down the side of his thigh. "There he is," he said softly. Tim Johnson came into sight, walking dazedly in the inner rim of the curve parallel to the Radley house.
"Look at him," whispered Jim. "Mr. Heck said they walked in a straight line. He can't even stay in the road."
"He looks more sick than anything," I said. "Let anything get in front of him and he'll come straight at it."
Mr. Tate put his hand to his forehead and leaned forward.
"He's got it all right, Mr. Finch."
Tim Johnson was advancing at a snail's pace, but he was not playing or sniffing at foliage. He seemed dedicated to one course and motivated by an invisible force that was inching him toward us. We could see him shiver like a horse shedding flies. His jaw opened and shut. He was a list, but he was being pulled gradually toward us.
"He's looking for a place to die," said Jim.
Mr. Tate turned around. "He's far from dead, Jim. He hasn't got started yet." Tim Johnson reached the side street that ran in front of the Radley place, and what remained of his poor mind made him pause and seem to consider which road he would take. He made a few hesitant steps and stopped in front of the Radley gate. Then he tried to turn around, but was having difficulty. Atticus said,
"He's within range, Heck. You better get him now before he goes down the side street. Lord knows who's around the corner. Go inside, Cal."
Calpurnia opened the screen door, latched it behind her, then unlatched it and held onto the hook. She tried to block Jim and me with her body, but we looked out from beneath her arms.
"Take him, Mr. Finch."
Mr. Tate handed the rifle to Atticus. Jim and I nearly fainted.
"Don't waste time, Heck," said Atticus. "Go on."
"Mr. Finch, this is a one-shot job." Atticus shook his head vehemently.
"Don't just stand there, Heck. He won't wait all day for you."
"For God's sake, Mr. Finch, look where he is. Miss, and you'll go straight into the Radley house. I can't shoot that well, and you know it."
"I haven't shot a gun in 30 years.
Mr. Tate almost threw the rifle at Atticus.
"I'd feel mighty comfortable if you did now," he said.
In a fog,
Jim and I watched our father take the gun and walk out into the middle of the street. He walked quickly, but I thought he moved like an underwater swimmer. Time had slowed to a nauseating crawl. When Atticus raised his glasses, Calpurnia murmured, "Sweet Jesus, help him," and put her hands to her cheeks. Atticus pushed his glasses to his forehead. They slipped down, and he dropped them in the street. In the silence, I heard them crack. Atticus rubbed his eyes and chin. We saw him blink hard. In front of the Radley Gate, Tim Johnson had made up what was left of his mind. He had finally turned himself around to pursue his original course up our street. He made two steps forward, then stopped and raised his head. We saw his body go rigid. With movements so swift they seemed simultaneous, Atticus's hand yanked a ball-tipped lever as he brought the gun to his shoulder. The rifle cracked. Tim Johnson leaped, flopped over, and crumpled on the sidewalk in a brown and white heap. He didn't know what hit him.